Mr. Speaker, it was beyond my wildest dreams when 14 years ago in 1996, a girl born in Shanghai, China, who grew up in a Hong Kong apartment where 8 families share a single kitchen and bathroom, delivered her historical maiden speech as New Zealand's first Member of Parliament of Asian ethnicity. That dream is not mine alone, and it comes with expectation, responsibility, and hope. I have tried every single day to keep that dream alive, and nothing should happen to dash that dream. Recently, questions were raised about the use of my parliamentary travel entitlements. These questions related to a 2008 end-of-year trip to China and Malaysia. When these questions were raised, I immediately resigned as a cabinet minister and cooperated with a thorough and exhaustive independent parliamentary inquiry. This inquiry covered the use of my parliamentary travel entitlements over the past decade. The inquiry found that I had erred, and my 2008 trip involved activity that, although unplanned and inadvertent, could be construed as being for private business purposes. I accepted the findings, apologized, and repaid the level of rebate attributable to that part of the trip that amounted to $237.06 each for me and my husband. That inquiry brought into sharp focus for me that my political career has been an all-consuming one. Right from the time I started as a List MP servicing Asian communities throughout New Zealand till today. And I know it would not have been possible without my husband Sammy's unrelenting support. As a consequence, his business interests were severely curtailed, and in China were limited to Supreme Hovercraft, a business he became a minority shareholder on 25th December 2008. This shareholding resulted from a historical minority interest in the Christchurch-based Pacific Hovercraft that he was asked to help when it was going through difficult times. Both of these businesses are now defunct. The past 14 years have passed without me having time to stop and reflect, but the past 3 weeks have given me the opportunity to do so. And it will forever wait on my conscience how my continuing political pursuit has placed huge demands and constraints on my husband. And I have decided this will no longer be the case. Often my brother in Christchurch told me that Right Honourable John Key, our Prime Minister, is the person who can turn New Zealand around for a better future. I agree with him. And it is apparent that my mistake has become a distraction to the Prime Minister and the government. They must focus on the important and urgent economic, social and environmental issues. It is not acceptable to me that I have become a distraction to this very important focus. One of my political highlights in the general election of 2008 was to become the first MP of Asian ethnicity to win a general seat. I'm privileged, humble, and grateful to the constituents of Botany who demonstrated that representation can be beyond ethnicity, that New Zealand is a country of equal opportunity. The playing field is far from being equal, but anything is possible if one works hard for it. Together with the campaign team, we knocked on over 10,000 doors and increased Botany's winning margin of 3,000 to over 10,000. Botany, you rock. Between 2001 and 2006, Botany Electric grew by 34%, 4 times the national average. It is a multiracial community that reflects my belief that many people can live together in one community. Many people with shared values. Economic and fiscal security, good education, a great place to bring up children, and community spirit abound. Together we achieved the community desire of naming the new local board as Hawick and brought forward the opening of skateboard part to resolve the conflict between residents and skateboarders. Schools, community groups, police, business associations, all are working together, making Botany the best electorate in the country. I've enjoyed meeting so many good people through door knocking and community activities, and that will be sadly missed. But Botany deserves an MP who can fully focus on their needs. My enforced period of leave gave me the chance to reflect. I have 14 years of unrelenting workload in public service, and it is time to turn a page in my life's journey to focus on personal and family priorities. My political pursuit has its root in proving my country is a land of equal opportunity, and Asian New Zealanders can succeed in the highest office. Not satisfied as a List MP, I set my sight to win a seat. Jumping down the 192-metre tall sky tower in 2002 was to show that determination. Two attempts at Auckland Central set the foundation to win the newly created Botany electorate in 2008. Then I was appointed to the Cabinet, the first Minister of Asian Ethnicity. That year, I was also named top 10 overseas Chinese achievers by the International Overseas Chinese Media Grouping based in many countries. Yes, we can. In my maiden speech 14 years ago, I stated that for a long time, Asian New Zealanders have not taken an active part in the planning of our nation's future. They have not been vocal in expressing their aspiration for this country. They confine their aspiration to themselves and that of their families. Our future generations need to be confident and proud of being New Zealanders and enjoy the benefits and making their contributions as world citizens. Much has changed and progress in the last 14 years. Examination at bursary level in Chinese was introduced in 1998 after many years of community lobbying. Nowadays, second language learning is part of the school curriculum. Consultation documents for code of community values first appear with Chinese language. Nowadays, official documents and communication are regularly presented in multi-language format. Immigration policy is important to ethnic communities, and consultation with them is now accepted. Celebrations such as Lantern and Diwali festivals are held throughout the country, and people from all walks of life are participating. The early discussions of Asian police strategy have now evolved into an ethnic policing strategy. The lobbying for Asian liaison personnel into the police force has now extended to recruiting Asian uniform police. Workshops were held with the ethnic catering sector with regard to major changes to food safety legislation. The first Asian health survey was launched by the then Health Minister, Honourable Bill English. Chinese traditional medicine practitioners and acupuncturists make their views known with regard to regulation and ACC as accredited providers. In the establishment of the One Auckland City Council, there's provision in the legislation to set up an ethnic advisory panel. Asians now participate in the policy and decision-making process. Some of the more vocal and political movements were the 8,400 signature petitions against the change made to extend the citizenship qualifying period from 3 to 5 years in 2005. A compromise change was made as a result, not to extend the change to permanent residence holder at a time. Protest meetings were held when changes were made to raise thresholds of English language requirements and the lapse of thousands of overseas immigration applications. In 2008, thousands of Asians marched in Botany, protesting the killing in 9 days of three Asians. National's promise of a tough law and order policy, as well as 600 additional police, was very well received. Asian New Zealanders are no longer silent bystanders. They made their views known and voices heard. On a more somber note, my ongoing involvement in two high-profile domestic violence cases where two mothers were killed by their husbands was a chilling reminder that these are just the tip of the iceberg. They resulted in 5-year-old boy growing up with his grandmother in New Zealand and little Punkin being looked after by her grandmother in China. She and her grandmother was the main reason for me to stop by in China in 2008. These human tragedies prompted me to ask the Ministry of Women's Affairs to work with the Office of Ethnic Affairs and launch the Intimate Partner Violence Project into the ethnic communities. My vision for ethnic New Zealanders is for them to be confident, equal, and proud. The Office of Ethnic Affairs link up ethnic business people with mainstream businesses and relevant government departments so they can be part of the solution for New Zealand's economic growth. It is important that in a modern multi-ethnic society, that government departments do adopt ethnic policy framework to ensure that policy development takes into account the interests of today's composition of New Zealanders. New Zealand can be proud that 2 years in a row, it has been named the most peaceful country in the world because we celebrate diversity in faith and ethnicity beyond tolerance. We play an active part and are well respected in the world for our initiatives in interfaith dialogues. Our country has tremendous human resources as long as we ensure we see our ethnic New Zealanders for what they can add, rather than how they should conform to be Kiwi. In the short 2 years as the First Minister of Women's Affairs of Asian Ethnicity, I've come to appreciate the international reputation of the status of New Zealand women on the world stage. It was exciting to lead a delegation to the United Nations Commission of Status of Women's Conference with 9,000 attendees. New Zealand played an active and effective part in fast-tracking the establishment of the streamlined UN Women Entity. It should bring sharp focus in promoting gender equality. I also had the pleasure of representing New Zealand at the APEC Women Leaders Network Forum in Japan and Business Women Leaders Forum at the Shanghai Expo. Those two forums coincide with the relaunch of the celebration of Suffrage Day in New Zealand, where 117 years ago, New Zealand women were the first in the world to gain the right to vote. We should do more to celebrate, acknowledge, and leverage our proud history. The Ministry of Women's Affairs nowadays is sharply focused on increasing the number of women in the boardrooms, especially in listed companies. It is time that the New Zealand Stock Exchange follows Australia's lead and introduce a gender disclosure requirement for listed companies. International literature and research findings have established that more women on boards improve business performance. Women in economy is another area that I look forward to seeing progress. By having more women in trade, flexible work practices pamphlets, pathways for women in low-paid jobs, and tracking income differentiation between graduate men and women. All these work streams should contribute to the closing of the gender pay gap. I am pleased to observe that this year, the gender pay gap between women and men dropped to 10.6%, the lowest level since the first annual income survey in 1998. I'm proud of the continued relentless government efforts in introducing legislation as well as actions to eliminate violence against women. It is important that ethnic women are included in the task force because it's unacceptable for any woman to be victim of domestic and sexual violence. Mr. Speaker, I want to acknowledge you for restoring the decorum of the debating chamber. I came in as the class of 1996, the first MMP parliament, and I want to acknowledge the remaining seven. To the many supportive parliamentary colleagues, thank you for your goodwill and friendship. To the Clerk of the House, the Cabinet Office, the Staff of Parliament, Ministerial Services, Bellamy's and Ministerial Drivers, thank you all for your services. And a special thank you to both my electorate and parliamentary office staff. To Jimmy Anderson, a happy and well-earned retirement from VIP service. My privilege and opportunity to be the first New Zealand MP of Asian ethnicity was due to the foresight of the National Party leadership. Nowadays, it is accepted that ethnic New Zealanders can and will become parliamentarians. I'm indebted to our Asian advisory groups and members of the Botany electorate. Your support and commitment have enabled me to sustain the demand of public service. I'm pleased to be labelled the Kiwi daughter of the dragon by media in China in playing a role in the fostering of relationship between New Zealand and China as well as Asia. The journey has been remarkable, and it is time for me to exit the political life. Sammy, I am coming home.